Coming up in just a minute, the very last edition of Occupied Territory for this year. You can't miss it.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
All right, here we are, Occupied Territory. For those of you who are brand new to this show, Occupied Territory is... I have to change the name of this show. Although, but that means I have to change the name of my Facebook page, and Facebook says I'm not allowed to. So this is Occupied Territory with Mike Fader. It is not about the Middle East. It is not about the Middle East. It started off, and it continues to be, about the Occupy movement in the country, and now that the Occupy movement is physically dispersed to the four winds, and barely is limping along in reality, the ideas of it are implanted into every aspect of every discussion that goes on in this country now. And I hope it continues to be. And also, the Occupied Territory movement is, it's like a root fire. It's under there somewhere, and it doesn't take a whole lot for it to flare up. And conditions, unfortunately, in this country are those that will eventually, inevitably, cause it to flare up. It just needs to have more direction and more solidity and more connection to other activist groups next time, unions, whatever. So it's about Occupied Territory is about the fact that the rich occupy every aspect of our government, even our land, you know, our homes, everything. And there'll be more articles that I'm going to read from time to time here, which indicate that. Now, I'm the host. My name is Mike Fader. I do another show on this station, on PRN, on Mondays at 4 p.m., and it's called The Turning Point. And that's a sort of more free-form, spontaneous aggregation of personal recollections, of observations about culture, about psychology, stories I might tell about my life, which one hopes are universal. And so that's a different kind of program. But occasionally I will talk about politics here. It's all about income inequality. That's the main idea that Occupy tried to hammer into people's consciousness. And it took. It actually took. One reason why Romney lost to the lesser of two evils, the other guy, is because of the whole notion of income inequality. The fact that the lesser of two evils is even talking about raising taxes on the rich even a tiny little bit that they will never feel or even see is because of, I think, Occupied Territory pounding away at this, the Occupy movement. So it's income inequality, and clearly that is often, if you look back on it, the root of all political and cultural and you know, economic evil in any democratic society, well, in any kind of society. So that's what we talk about more here than anything else. But that, of course, expands its way across every other way, every other sort of political or economic observation. The companion piece, the companion, the doppelganger, the avatar, I'm not getting the right word, the parallel show to Occupied Territory is our Facebook page. It's called Occupied Territory, and it's on Facebook. And I encourage everybody to go there. You can like it if you want. Or you can just visit there as often as possible. I post almost every day, maybe every other day, something I consider to be a relevant article about something you might not see anywhere else. Although I'm sure that the people who listen to this show and the people who go to the Occupied Territory Facebook page, even on a regular basis, are people who already are well in advance of the general population in terms of finding the news that's really important. I was watching MSNBC last night. I thought, well, you know, I'll check in on them. MSNBC, basically, they should call themselves DTV or Democrat or DPTV, Democratic Party Television, because they're just cheerleaders for the Democratic Party and President Obama, and it's really obnoxious. And you're not liable. You're going to get more intelligence and more information from there than you'll ever get from Fox News, of course, which is sort of negative matter, you know, and they just make things up. But still, despite all their brains and all their passion and everything on MSNBC, it's a Democratic Party spokesperson television station. But I thought after the election, you know, I figured, oh, I don't have to watch these people anymore, thank God, you know. but I thought after the election I'd check in one more time because of these fiscal negotiations that are going on now, which could have extremely serious effects on everything that has to do with our regular lives here. For instance, if they reinstitute the payroll tax, me personally, and I'm probably 95% of the people listening to me, are going to be seriously affected by that. If you have to suddenly come up with another $1,000 or $2,000 a year in a world where everything costs way too much and never goes down but only goes up, you're going to be in trouble. And that's going to happen to me and my family. And it's going to happen to most of you, too. That's just one thing. If you're on extended unemployment, because there are no goddamn jobs, of course, the corporations, facilitated by the government, has shipped these jobs overseas where people work at slave wages and in slave labor conditions to make half the things that we use here in this country. There's no jobs. For various reasons, there are no jobs. The CEOs stole all the money. They get paid it all. You know, the hedge funds basically rape all these corporations. No jobs. So people are on unemployment, sometimes for a long time, on extended unemployment. If, in fact, there is not a negotiated settlement in the next couple of days, if it expires on Monday, the way they have it set up is that automatically there will be no extended unemployment benefits. Hundreds of thousands of people, and that will affect millions of people, will suddenly be without any money. Broke. No money. Nothing. Only food stamps. And you can't pay your rent, and you can't pay your electric bill, and you can't pay your heating bill, and you can't live with just food stamps. No, not really. You know, we don't live in caves with a lot of wood available. We don't live that kind of life here. So everything, your communications, your telephone, no bills will be able to be paid. You won't be able to drive your car if you own one. You won't be able to pay any payments on anything. Things will get repossessed. You might get thrown out of your house or your apartment. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people if they don't arrive at a negotiated settlement. And that's extraordinary, right? I mean, it'll be like the Depression for maybe a million people or more. Maybe a couple of million who are affected directly by this. No extended unemployment insurance. Payroll taxes will suddenly be reinstituted at a certain level, which means that trillions of dollars will be taken out of the pockets on a regular basis of people who can barely afford to get by, even though they have a job and are earning enough to pay their bills. There'll be a lot less that they'll have to, you know, be eating different kinds of food. They may be late with their rent. Even people who are middle class, that is to say 40,000, maybe 45, 50,000 up to 75 or 80, they won't miss that because prices are so high. And you all know what I'm talking about. Those are just two things, right? And there's all kinds of other things that will set in. Basically, who will be harmed by this? And of course, the taxes will go up even higher on rich people, but they will not notice. If you make over $400,000 or $500,000 a year, I don't care what you do or where you get it from or how hard you work for it or what good you do in society. I mean, there are people who make that much money, though they shouldn't, in my opinion, but that's another discussion. Doing good in the world, most of the people who make that much money don't do much good in the world. In fact, they sort of subtract from the general, addition and value of society entirely. You know, I read today in the Times Financial section, which I read occasionally to see what's going on, I see a guy, they're worried about the fact that retail sales went down. Well, of course they went down. And one reason is because people are afraid their taxes are going to go up. Well, of course. You can't go shopping for things and stick it on your credit card and expect to pay it off or to just lay out some cash if suddenly, starting in January, you're going to be having much more money taken out of your check because the payroll tax thing won't be adjusted. And so taxes will go up on everybody. And, of course, who's going to feel that the least is the rich. If you make $500,000 a year or $400,000 or even anything over $250,000, big deal. So you have to pay $10,000 more or $25,000 more, you know, if it went up in an extraordinary amount. So what? You'll get by. So that's how it works, right? Typically, people who are in poverty, lower middle class and middle class people will get screwed as always, and the rich will stay a little less rich, but not much. And that's how it works. And of course, what you've got is you've got a bunch of rich people down in Washington. Two-thirds of the Senate and Congress and the president. If you add all these people up, right, the House of Representatives and the Senate and the president, between half and two-thirds are millionaires. And if they're not millionaires, they're making a base pay of $175,000 a year. Right? And they have all kinds of perks. They have benefits. They have travel. They have communications benefits. They have office staff. Some, a lot of people, a lot of them sleep in their office to save extra money. Some of the new freshman Congress people. So there you have it. They're making $175,000 a year to start. Some of them make more than that. That's their base pay. And the president makes whatever he makes, but he lives in a mansion and doesn't have to pay for anything ever. Everything's free, and he gets that money. So you're dealing – and a lot of these people are people who were lawyers, are lawyers, were businessmen, are businessmen. They make speeches. They get speeches. People in the House and the Senate can get anywhere from $25,000 to $100,000, depending on how powerful they are and how famous they are, per speech. So these people earn several hundred thousand dollars a year from from their business investments. Some of them are just wealthy the minute they step in there. There are people there who have – $100 million, even $200 million. The average person in the United States Senate and the House of Representatives is a millionaire. Is a millionaire, has at least $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. Nancy Pelosi, who's on the quote-unquote good side, what a joke, her estimated value, along with her banker husband, is around $70 million in assets and cash. These people are negotiating with a man who has several million dollars himself from book sales, the fact that, he's the president and sold a lot of books and that he has all this money piling up. So millionaires are negotiating with each other to see how much you're able to stumble by in your life and what extra money you might have if they're in the mood to give it to you. And whether or not they should tax rich people who are basically stealing money from all the rest of us. Worse than Jesse James ever did, believe me. And that's how it's going, right? So millionaires are negotiating with all this and to find out. And in the next couple of days, if because of political maneuvering or some sort of insane, blind cult dedication to not raising taxes, and also throw into the mix that the lesser of two evils guy, Mr. Hope and Change, who I know a lot of you voted for because it was the realistic thing to do, is planning to submarine Social Security. So tens of millions of older people who receive Social Security checks and millions of people who live entirely on those checks, which are just barely enough to pay rent and buy cheap food, will over a period of 10 years, according to the way he's willing to give it away and bargain with the Republicans, we'll wind up eating probably dog food and cat food. We'll probably skip meals. We'll probably maybe not be able to pay their rent, not afford to buy new shoes, whatever it is. They don't care. This is not a representative government anymore, which is what this show is dedicated to pointing out. And also, one hopes, and I do this from time to time, and I should do it more, providing ways in which we can alter this and not through political parties. Now, on the Occupied Territory Facebook page, we have constant debates, and it got to the point of, like, really heated arguments during the election. I voted for Jill Stein, and I voted for the Green Party. I would never vote for a Democrat again, as long as I live, unless it was Bernie Sanders, and I don't live in his state. We have no Democrat who lives in New York State, where I live, or New York City, who comes even close to being a representative that I could possibly vote for. They just roll over on every important bill. They give away things. And we have the president and his party willing to go along with giving away money on Social Security when they don't have to. Social Security has nothing to do with the budget. It's independently funded. It's a separate fund. But he's willing to make a deal on that with the Republicans. So this slimy, compromising, corporate son of a bitch, Mr. Lesser of Two Evils, he's the one that a lot of people said that they had to vote for because otherwise it would be Romney. And what would Romney do? He would do horrible things. Like he would have, let's say, he would sic the FBI on us and investigate all of us in our homes and our websites. And if we tried to go to a protest or something like that, he would have the cops beat us up and he'd have the FBI investigate us and treat us as if we were just terrorists. Well, that's exactly what this guy's doing, only he's doing it worse than any Republican ever did it. And what else would happen? We might actually attack and invade other countries and occupy other countries. Oh, really? We might actually use drones to kill people, half of them innocent, half of them children. if Romney gets in. No, actually, he didn't get in, and we're still doing it, and we're doing it more than we ever did. And we're spending just as much money on the military. These military cuts that automatically take place if they don't reach a deal are actually illusory. They're not real military cuts. What they are is just cuts in how much they get extra each year. The relative amount will stay the same. The military, the Defense Department, actually the War Department, gets far too much money already, 10 times more than they need or should have. And that includes weapons manufacturers who are turning out these tens of billions of dollars worth of junk that we don't need and don't even work. So they're not going to suffer much from this. Basically, typically, all of us will suffer. And so people said, oh, you can't have Romney get in, right? What will happen to Social Security? He might bargain part of it away or try to privatize it. You think Obama's any better? Just pick an issue. Yeah, maybe he's a little better here and a little better there. But I think actually we're seeing now, unfortunately, because I wish it really hadn't come to pass, that Obama is as bad as anything I ever suggested. And maybe he's even worse than I thought he was when it comes to ripping up the Constitution, giving away people's money and their rights. So that's what you have. You have a sort of a right-wing Democrat negotiating with right-wing Republicans. I don't see much of a difference. Anyhow, I will continually try to have guests on here, and I do from time to time, who will tell you not just how to carp and criticize, which obviously I'm an expert at, but how to change this. And I don't see it happening through the political, the standard political process, not through voting, not through the political parties, that kind of thing. One other item to mention. I have a certain, if you're new to the program or even if you're not, I have a certain style which can tend to be very angry or provocative sometimes and occasionally sarcastic, and you can hear it, snide even, if you want to use an uncomplimentary word. And I get a lot of complaints. Well, not a lot of complaints. I get some complaints on the Facebook page, Occupied Territory, that why don't am I one of those people who hates the United States? No, not really. I want it to be a lot better than it is, and I don't want it to be as bad as it is, and it's getting a lot worse every day. That's what upsets me. In fact, I love, I don't really love the United States, but actually, I care very much for my country, and I don't care how it looks to the rest of the world. I don't know, that's just a TV show. But I care about what goes on in my country because it affects me and everybody else and my family, and I care about the idea of democracy and equality. And it does make me enraged, and I have a style which is provocative. And a lot of people complain to me, you know, you're always, like, for instance, I had some people write to me. I posted a couple of articles about drones being permitted to be legal in the United States, which I'll get to in a minute, and FBI surveillance of the Occupy movement as if they were terrorists. And I posted these articles recently on the Facebook page. And a lot of people wrote to, you know, a lot of people wrote to me and said, oh, it's Christmas. Give it a rest, will you? Why are you always telling me some negative bad news? You know what? And the other part of that was like, why don't you change your tone? I don't like your tone. I'm thinking of a movie I saw once. What was it? The Big Sleep with Humphrey Bogart, and I forget. I'm paraphrasing. You know, he was once with the district attorney's office, but they didn't like his tone. They didn't like his attitude. Right? He says, I don't blame him. I don't like my attitude much either. Well, I don't necessarily like my attitude, but it's my attitude, which is to be sometimes sarcastic and very aggressive, mixed in with the passion I do feel for actually achieving some of the things that the founders wrote as words and ideas in the Declaration of Independence. I actually believe in that, fool that I am. And I want to see it as part of America. I don't want to see it turn into a corporate fascist state, which it is as we speak, worse all the time. So for those of you who don't like the tone, well, you know, you could just say so. Free speech, occupied territory. We still have some free speech. And it looks like most of it's on the internet. And some of it's on stations like this, PRN.FM. Speaking of which, if you're just tuning into PRN.FM, if you just listen to me or just one or two shows here, check out the whole schedule on PRN. And we have some terrific programs on here. If you're into healthy living, we have the best programs in the whole country. There is no, you know, comparison to this station. If you are into politics, we have also some of the best programs that you'll ever hear, better than a lot of theoretically liberal or left-wing other stations that are out there, including the Pacifica stations, and also better than I'm on Sirius XM. on Sirius. I do another show on Sirius Left, which is the left-wing station on Sirius. I am the most left-wing guy on Sirius Left. The other ones, sometimes very sort of middle of the road. Actually, they're not all of them. But most of the other ones are kind of middle of the road or Democratic Party types, a little bit MSNBC-ish. Part of that may be because they know that's where you get most of your listeners, and they can maybe even move into TV or larger radio audiences. But so this is the place to be, PRN.FM. We have some great political programs and health programs and other programs here. All right. So it's the end of the year. It's the end of 2012. The next program I do here on Occupied Territory will be in 2013. And I suppose it's customary to review things that happened during the year, but I don't really think that way. I don't. If I was a totally enlightened Zen master type, I wouldn't worry about the calendar at all. I wouldn't care what day it was. I wouldn't care what time it was, what year it was. I wouldn't worry about small things like that. But on the other hand, I'm not. I'm a regular human being with various responsibilities, places I have to be, jobs I go to, you know, dates that have to be, appointments that have to be kept. So I can't say that. But I don't like the idea of dividing the year in one arbitrary place and saying, okay, let's review the year. But it's, I suppose it's a useful thing. Human beings cannot live without division, without rituals, without some framework. Otherwise, it's total anarchy or chaos. And as I say, we're not all Buddhist monks. We don't live off in the mountains where we can just contemplate things, although I wish I did. I'm getting closer and closer to that point. But still, while I'm here on Earth and not up in the mountains, in the pine woods, in a monastery building, I have to deal with the way culture is, and it's necessary for me to deal with it the way I deal with it. So should I review the last year? Not really. I don't think so, after all that. We had, obviously, the big thing was the election, which has been going on for 2 years and will start going on within about a year, the presidential election and then the interim elections and the congressional elections and everything. So is it better that the Democrats have the White House than the Republicans? Yeah, sort of. Is it better that, especially when it comes to the Supreme Court nominations, although who knows what this guy is going to do now that he doesn't have one more term to worry. He doesn't have to worry about pleasing anybody or running again. So a lot of people said that when Mr. Obama gets elected, then you'll see what he's really like. I think we're already seeing what he's really like. He's willing to negotiate the food out of the mouths of millions of poor people and old people. That's the first thing he's willing to do. He's also willing to use his Justice Department to get his FBI to investigate Occupy people as if they were literally terrorists. They now, the FBI, if you were wondering, if the FBI considers to be, and the Justice Department, i.e., and also the President of the United States, Mr. Lesser of Two Evils, if he considers you, if you support the Occupy movement, if you are a member especially of the Occupy movement, you were down there, if you did any bank sit-ins, if you were at the occupations, if you even went down to visit them, if you are publicly a very loud supporter of them, which I am, if you belong to websites, if you visit their websites, does the government, from the president on down to the local FBI agent in your backyard snooping on you, consider you a terrorist? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Big article from the New York Times this past Tuesday, which was Christ's birthday. Happy birthday, Christ. I forgot to wish you a happy birthday. It says here, FBI counterterrorism agents monitored Occupy movement records show. Washington. The Federal Bureau of Investigation used counterterrorism agents, to investigate the Occupy Wall Street movement, including its communications and planning, according to a newly disclosed agency record. According to newly disclosed agency records, the FBI records show that as early as September 2011, an agent from a counterterrorism task force in New York notified officials of two landmarks in Lower Manhattan. That is federal landmarks, Federal Hall and the Museum of American, listen to this, the Museum of American Finance. The FBI was very careful immediately, right before it even took off, to protect and warn the Museum of American Finance, which tells you just about everything, that their building was identified as a point of interest for the Occupy Wall Street. That was around the time that Occupy Wall Street activists set up a camp in Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan, spawning a protest movement across the United States that focused the nation's attention on issues of income inequality, right? And because these people have disappeared, because the cops beat them up and locked them all up, including anybody from the press who was in their way and innocent citizens who got shot with rubber bullets, with pepper spray, and beat over their head and, you know, beaten up by the cops. They're gone now, but income inequality is not gone. It gets worse every minute, and unfortunately it gets worse because the people in charge are involved on the wrong side of it. In the following months, FBI personnel around the country were routinely involved in exchanging information about the movement with businesses, local law enforcement agencies, and universities. An October 2011 memo from the Bureau's Jacksonville, Florida field office was entitled Domain Program Management Domestic Terrorist. You are a terrorist. If you're in the Occupy movement or you support it actively and vocally, you contributed money to them online, anything you did, you are now on a list someplace. The government thinks you're a terrorist. And if that doesn't make you enraged, nothing can. Nothing can, right? And who is in charge of all this? The lesser of two evils. Always remember that. There's another choice. There are other choices besides the Democratic or Republican Party. The memo, Domain Program Management Domestic Terrorist, the memo said agents discussed, quote, past and upcoming meetings, end quote, of the movement and its spread. It said agents should contact Occupy Wall Street activists to ascertain whether people who attended their events had violent tendencies. Violent tendencies. Did you see, along with everybody else, I'm being rhetorical here, we all saw dozens and dozens of videos of the cops on university campuses, and especially in places like New York and other places, at the direct order of the mayor, in cooperation with Homeland Security, with enhanced weapons and militarized police everywhere. You saw where 99.5% of the violence came from. It came from the cops. It came from the government. Nobody in the Occupy Wall Street movement was pepper spraying people or beating them over the head with clubs or shooting rubber bullets at people or punching them in the mouth. A cop down in New York City, some woman, some middle-class woman, was down there with a sign, and she got a little too close to a barrier. Didn't go past it down at Zuccotti Park after the cops had thrown people out. Cop, maybe 6'3", punched her right in the face, knocked her down. People were beaten over the head with sticks. People were rounded up and thrown to the ground, smashed, their faces smashed to the ground, thrown all over the place, pepper sprayed, blinded. People had asthma attacks. One person had a heart attack. People have broken bones. People have scars from rubber bullets that were sprayed into them from outside. These are people, 99.9% of them, except for some people in Oakland in one or two demonstrations, were utterly peaceful, middle-class, regular people. Right? And the cops provided all the violence. Meanwhile, the FBI is investigating their violent tendencies. The memo said that because of high rates of, listen to this now, because of, this is an official FBI memo, because of high rates of unemployment, the movement was spreading throughout Florida, and there were several Facebook pages dedicated to specific chapters based on geographical areas. Yeah, right. It's called organizing. But this is amazing here. Because of high rates of unemployment. Yes, right. So instead of responding to the high rates of unemployment by doing something about corporations and businesses and banks that are stealing all our money and wrecking our economy, instead of putting them in jail or investigating them, the president and the Justice Department and the FBI, who works for the Justice Department, are investigating the people who are unemployed, who merely want to stand out in the cold and say, you're wrong to do this to us. Where are our jobs? Stop shipping them off to slave wage camps up in other countries, in Bangladesh, in Vietnam, in China, and every place else. People who just want to express that are terrorists, right? And criminals. All right, so the FBI was concerned that the movement would provide an outlet, and this is because of unemployment. Yes, there is massive unemployment in this country. It's because of the rich people and the corporations and the CEO and the government support of these people and no interference with what the banks can do and shipping jobs overseas. So we have vast unemployment. And what happens when people get unemployed? They get depressed. They get miserable. They get angry. They can't provide for their families. They can't even live in a house. They can hardly buy food. They want to protest. That's their right under the Constitution. That's why we had a revolution in the first place. But no. You're a criminal if you do that now. This is the state we're in. The FBI was concerned that the movement would provide an outlet For a lone offender exploiting the movement for reasons associated with general government dissatisfaction. Yeah, that's possible. In fact, it was true in some cases. There are lunatics, anarchists, drifters, and fools who attach themselves to any legitimate movement. And in this case, though, it barely happened. Since the September 11, 2001 attacks, the FBI has come under criticism for deploying counterterrorism agents to conduct surveillance and gather intelligence on organizations active in environmental, animal cruelty, and poverty issues. So if you're protesting the rape of the environment, the destruction of the environment, the mutilation and termination of hundreds of species of animals, and, you know, fighting poverty. If you're interested in doing that on any active basis, you're a target of the FBI. The disclosure of the FBI records comes a little more than a year after the police ousted protesters from Zuccotti Park in November 11, 2011. Law enforcement agencies undertook similar actions around the country against Occupy Wall Street groups. Occupy Wall Street has lost much of its visibility since then, but questions remain about how local and federal enforcement officials monitored and treated the protesters. The records were obtained by, and you should pay attention to this, and I'll give you the details about this a little bit later. The records were obtained, these FBI records were obtained by the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund. The Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, which is a group, if you have any extra money, like even 10 bucks, you want to go there and donate to them. Of course, you'll be on a terrorist list if you donate to a place that tries to restore your rights under the Constitution. You'll be a terrorist, but you'll have to just deal with it. Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, a civil rights organization in Washington, threw a Freedom of Information request to the FBI office. But listen, many parts of the documents produced by the FBI were redacted by the Bureau. You know what that means, right? Redacted. So they send you a sheet of information, you know, which it does say that they did investigate or they do consider Occupy Wall Street a terrorist group. And then they'll take a big black marker and just literally cross out. And I did this when I was a paralegal at a law firm. I redacted documents. So you cross out everything, which is none of anybody else's business, theoretically. And also you cross out everything that will show other people how goddamn guilty you are. That you did trash the Constitution, that you did violate people's personal and civil and constitutional rights. You cross it out so they can't actually prosecute you. So the records were heavily redacted. The records provide one of the first glimpses into how deeply involved federal law enforcement authorities were in monitoring the activities of the movement, etc. For example, let's see. According to a memo written by the FBI's New York field office in August 2011, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Bank of America, no doubt, Bureau personnel met with officials here from the New York Stock Exchange to discuss the planned anarchist protest titled Occupy Wall Street. So you're a terrorist and you're an anarchist. If you merely want to show up and say something about how your rights are being stolen, and this is fine with everybody straight up into the White House. The protest appears on anarchist websites and social network pages on the internet. They're all the same, right? So a social network page is the same as an anarchist website, just so you know when you're getting involved in this. The memo added, numerous incidents have occurred in the past which show attempts by anarchist groups to disrupt, influence, and or shut down normal business operations of the financial district. Yeah, right. But not anarchists. Us. We. The people that these people destroyed the economy for. These are the people that raped the economy. They have gotten rich like maggots, like slugs, off all of our blood that was shed by them in the first place. And but you're an anarchist if you want to say something about them. And let's see. The article continues. This is a statement from the FBI. And this is under file this under, if you have a filing system or a cabinet where you file things, you have a folder. If you have a cabinet for a file under extreme and utter bullshit, file this under this. This is a statement from the FBI. While the FBI is obligated to thoroughly investigate any serious allegations involving threats of violence, we do not open investigations based solely on First Amendment activity. Unbelievable. Do they sleep at night? Yes, because they're psychopaths, so they can write anything they want. In fact, the Department of Justice and the FBI's own internal guidelines and domestic operations strictly forbid that. Oh, well, I guess that means they don't do it. But Mara Verheiden-Hilliard, who I'm trying to get as a guest, executive director of the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, said the documents demonstrated that the FBI had acted improperly by gathering information on Americans involved in lawful activities. So that's this is a quote from her. The collection of information on people's free speech actions is being entered into unregulated databases, a vast storehouse of information widely disseminated to a range of law enforcement and apparently private entities, she said. This is precisely the threat. People do not know when or how it may be used and in what manner. In other words, if you're out there and the FBI is investigating you, or, you know, probably stealing your emails or your visits to websites or whatever it is that Google and Microsoft is happy to turn over to them. If you're out there doing this, protesting the blatant trashing of your civil and personal rights, right, and the theft of your money and everything else, if you're out there doing that, the FBI considers you a terrorist. And they're going to investigate you, and they're going to send all this information they get to a place like the Bank of America or Chase or local authorities. Let's say you want to apply for a business or apply for a loan or get a license to do something. They're going to have you down as a terrorist. This is how it is. This is how it is. The records show little evidence that the members of the movement plan to commit violence. Yes, right. Thank you, New York Times. But they do describe a discussion on the Internet regarding the Occupy Wall Street movement when it is okay to shoot a police officer. I mean, yeah, there are always nuts in every movement, right? They're not institutionalized. They don't all have guns, and they don't all have advanced spying equipment like the FBI, though. The documents indicate that the FBI obtained information from police departments and other law enforcement agencies that appear to have been gathered by someone observing the protesters as they planned activities. They're called spies. Let's see. Et cetera. So that's it. This is the news. That's it. Now, if you hear one word about that on MSNBC, let me know, because I'll think that a religious miracle happened. So there's nowhere on television that you could possibly look at that you're going to get this information, only on the Internet or on a show like this or shows like this or on blogs that are like this. And this is why this show is here. And this is why I think you should all get involved. If I haven't posted this on the website, then I will. Meanwhile, what I'm going to do is take a little break here and come back with some other information that I've gotten together. So let's go to, do we have a little break music we can go to? Yes, we have, and we'll be back. Okay, we're back. This is Mike Fader with Occupied Territory. I'm the host of Occupied Territory. And once again, check out our Facebook page, Occupied Territory on Facebook. Get involved in our discussion. Now, the place I was talking about before, which is a sterling civil rights and constitutional rights, especially representative. They have lawyers. They make freedom of information requests from the FBI. They prosecute legal cases to represent people who are caught in the web of government spying and represent people whose Fourth Amendment and First Amendment rights are being trampled by this administration as bad or worse than any in history, especially since we're not really in wartime. This is the, you know, theoretically we're at war. The war on terror never stops, which is probably, I guess, from reading a lot of history and being familiar with a lot of history, the biggest excuse for stealing our money and trashing the Constitution that I have ever seen in American history. I have never seen a more extended, more intense, deeper, wider intrusion on people's personal liberties in this country during a non-wartime than what's going on now. This quote-unquote war on terror, which has been declared by Bush way back in the early days before he invaded Afghanistan, somewhere or the war on terror. So the war on terror has spawned, to use a journalistic word, which is not a bad word, though. It's spawned the Department of Homeland Security, which is our new Uber Gestapo. That is our Gestapo now. That is the what in other countries it was called the Interior Ministry. Think whatever it's called in Russia or Germany, right? The Interior Ministry. The Department of Homeland Security is now our combination Gestapo, federal police, and spy agencies. All of these groups come under the heading of the Department of Homeland Security. Who's ever in charge there is like our Goebbels. You know, it's our Himmler, our Himmler now. Goebbels was propaganda. But the Department of Homeland Security grows out of the war on terror. And the Department of Homeland Security expands like a runaway cancer all the time. They have more agencies under their control. They have hundreds of thousands of employees, most of them involved in checking you, trampling on your rights, patting you down, spying on you, providing money for weapons and research for weapons for local police forces who want to suppress any demonstrations or protests and spy on whatever information that you're trying to obtain or anything you're doing on your website or if you write a blog, whatever. That's the Department of Homeland Security. It comes out of the war on terror. The war on terror will never stop because it is so useful to the government in breaking every rule and every amendment in the Constitution and every rule that protects us as citizens and gives us a right to call ourselves a democracy. The war on terror. There is no war on terror. The war on terror is made up to steal everything that you still own as an American. It even allows the banks to do whatever they want. It's all connected. So if you protest now, from now on, outside of a convention, if you protest outside the White House gates, if you don't like the president being a mass murderer with his drones, if you don't like the president letting bankers get away with wrecking the economy and stealing everybody's money and putting millions of people out of work and out of their houses, if you don't like that and you stand out in public and you say it, or you write a blog and you say it, you are now a terrorist. Protest has now become a terrorist activity in the United States. In other words, that's how far we've come. After the Revolution and the Declaration of Independence, where it says very clearly, and the entire country is based on this, when it comes to spawning, right? The seminal document, the document that created, that founded, that gave birth to the United States of America, which we live in, is the Declaration of Independence. And it says in there very clearly, so that nobody could misunderstand it, we have every right, and then the first few amendments to the Constitution put those two things together. We have every right, in fact, we have a duty and a necessity, if we want to maintain a democracy, to point out where our representatives or the people who we put in power, who we pay with our taxes, we have every right to point out that they are stealing from us, that they are murdering people with our tax money and we don't like it, that they're acting in a way we don't like, that they're not protecting the environment, that they're appointing, witch-burning judges, that they are stealing money themselves, that they are corrupt, as many people in Congress frequently are. We have every right to do that. No more. No more. We are no longer really living in any benevolent or decent conception of what the United States of America is. Our job then, knowing this, is to try to point it out as often as possible, spread the news, because you're never going to get this in major media, on TV, or in major newspapers, except infrequently. And I'm surprised, and happily surprised, yes, I did, I said something about happily, that the New York Times, which is a very middle-of-the-road newspaper and very afraid of any kind of revolutionary activity of any sort, that they are frequently writing articles about how drones kill civilians, about the government, about the president signing laws which decimate the Constitution, about the FBI breaking the law all the time, and about the Justice Department frequently not prosecuting the real criminals in our society, people who are in charge of mercenary groups, people who are bankers, people who are hedge fund traders. So it's interesting to see. And I believe the Occupy movement had a lot to do with that. So once again, if you want to get in touch with this place, and I strongly urge you to do this, this is one of the best places in the country. And we're at the end of the year. Sometimes people say, okay, here's my favorite movies of the year, here's my favorite websites, whatever. I can pick out two places. And One of them is the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund. And the way you get there online is just go to justiceonline.org, justiceonline.org, and you will get to a place which is very well worth supporting. One of the few places is right smack in the middle of Washington, working for your rights. The other one, which is very much involved in the Fourth Amendment, which is unreasonable surveillance, search, and seizure, which is what the government is doing all the time now. You know, they have taken the Fourth Amendment and shredded it, and they're trying to do that worse all the time. And the one of the few places that's really successful and relentless in dealing with that, well, there are two places, and one I'll tell you, is called the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, just Google that, Electronic Frontier, and it'll come up, Foundation. And you can go to their website, and they're also very well worth supporting. These people are on our side. They're trying to protect our rights, and they're also prosecuting legal cases that have to do with this, getting all straight up through the civil courts to the federal court system, maybe even to the Supreme Court. Electronic Frontier Foundation. Also, the other place to check always is the Brennan Center, B-R-E-N-N-A-N, the Brennan Center for Social Justice, which is an active branch of New York University Law School, but it's a separate place entirely. It's not part of the law school, but only attached to them in some ways. The Brennan Center is named after Justice Brennan, who was one of the most important Supreme Court justices we ever had, probably the most important Supreme Court justice when it came to defending First Amendment rights and Fourth Amendment rights, Justice Brennan. And it's named after him, the Brennan Center. They have many, many people there who are extremely good lawyers. They do research and they prosecute cases, testify in front of Congress, and have a lot of power because they are respected. A lot of them are ex-Supreme Court justice clerks and federal justice clerks. These people know what they're talking about. They're active. They want to change democracy back to what it should be. I'm putting that awkwardly. They want to see equality. They want to see the amendments to the Constitution respected. They want to see this country work right for the good of most people, for the common people, for the majority of people. And so they are very much involved in voting rights laws, in laws that have to do with filibustering, anything that has to do with the democratic process and setting it to rights, the Brennan Center. So those are the main places I'd tell you about. All right. So let me tell you about this article, which was recently in the another place to go, by the way, is if you want to find out some real news about what's going on in this country, you have to go to another country. And that is to say, you want to check out the BBC online. You may want to check out Al Jazeera, which will tell you far more what's going on, sometimes even in this country, than you'll find out from MSNBC or whatever it is. And also you'll find out really what's going on very often in the Middle East, for real, what we are doing there that you'll never hear because they won't tell you in our government or the media won't report on it. But another place you can go routinely is the Guardian UK. The Guardian is a left liberal newspaper in the United Kingdom. Now, we don't have a newspaper like that here. The Guardian is a newspaper that routinely prints things that you really need to hear and has a very what would be called left-wing point of view, which to me is just basically constitutional point of view. We don't have a newspaper, and it's very telling, of course, in the United States of America that represents our rights, that is from the point of view of workers and citizens just trying to exercise their rights. There is no such thing in the United States. It's too much of a right-wing capitalist country. Good luck. You have to go to the internet. That's okay, but there's no newspaper like that. Now, the Guardian UK will frequently have articles and print articles about the reality of what's going on in our country that will never appear on any major network or in a newspaper here, and they won't show up even in places that are supposedly liberal. And here's an article, The Coming Drone Attack on America. Drones on domestic surveillance duties are already deployed by police and corporations. In time, they will likely be weaponized. That's the title of the article. By 2020, it is estimated that as many as 30,000 drones will be in use in U.S. domestic airspace. Let's see. And the author here is saying, let's see. In February of this year, Congress passed the FAA Reauthorization Act. You ever hear of that? No, I never did. The FAA, Federal Aviation Authority, Reauthorization Act, with its provision to deploy fleets of drones domestically. And the president happily signed this, Mr. Hope and Change, right? The lesser of two evils. He signed this. Jennifer Lynch, an attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, notes that this followed, the signing of this bill, a major lobbying effort, a huge push by the defense sector to promote the use of drones in American skies. 30,000 of them, 30,000 of them are expected to be in use by 2020, some as small as hummingbirds, meaning that you won't necessarily see them, tracking your meeting with your fellow activists or with your accountant or your congressman or filming your going to bars or your assignation with your girlfriend or boyfriend as it's video gathering whirs, right? Okay. Others will be as big as passenger planes. These are drones. Business-friendly media stress their planned abundant use by corporations. Police in Seattle have already deployed them. In other words, I refer constantly to popular entertainment because that's always way ahead prophetically, even if they don't know they are. Think of Skynet in The Terminator. Think of, did you ever see Blade Runner? Think of Blade Runner, or I advise you very strongly, the next movie you rent, next movie you get or you stream, get Blade Runner to show you what the future is, and it's not so far away, maybe 10, 20 years from now, right? And in Blade Runner, corporations basically own the skies. They rent the sky space to other corporations. So the corporations, which is the same thing as the government, they own the skies. So you can't walk around or be in your apartment or your house without having holograph colored, gigantic colored holograph advertisements for Coca-Cola or something spread across the night sky. Forget about the stars and the moon. The sky belongs to corporations. So that's what the drones will be flying around, projecting holographs of Pepsi or Viagra over the sky while you're walking on the street or when you look out the window of your house. An unclassified U.S. Air Force document reported by CBS News, well, that's good, expands on this unprecedented and unconstitutional step, one that formally brings the military into the role of controlling domestic populations in U.S. soil, which is the bright line that separates a democracy from a military dictatorship. All right, get this. The U.S. Constitution allows for the deployment of National Guard units by governors who are answerable to the people in each state. But this system is intended, as is posse comitatus, to prevent the military from taking action aimed at U.S. citizens domestically. In other words, there are accepted, understood rules and laws in the United States that prevents the United States military from being deployed by the president as commander-in-chief against spying on you and arresting you. President, lesser of two evils, Mr. Hope and Change, has changed all that. He has signed two bills. One is this, which permits the deployment of drones by the U.S. military all over the country to gather information, and by the CIA and by the NSA. Now it's legal for them to do. You will start having drones everywhere now. Wherever you go, whatever you do, they will be spying on you, and now it's legal because the president signed the bill. What is also legal is, in addition to this, is a companion piece to shred the Constitution, is that the president signed a national defense authorization. You know, this is sort of funding the military. But in there was a section that allows him to designate anybody he wants based on any decision he wants as a terrorist. The president can now call you a terrorist the same way he calls people in other countries based on intelligence that's provided to him, secondhand or thirdhand or fourthhand. He can now label you in Iowa, in New York City, in Alabama, wherever you are, wherever you're listening, you can be designated a terrorist by the Secretary of Defense now, under this new FAA law, or the president. You can be spied on. You can be investigated. Drones can be used to investigate you. How long do you think it's going to take before, since you're a terrorist now to them, that they put weapons in these drones? How long do you think it's going to take? Is this conspiracy theory? No, it's current behavior of the government, and they're in league with corporations. So look at Blade Runner if you want to know what your future is going to be like. And Happy New Year to everybody.